welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankham.
And we are so excited and honored to have with us today the great and esteemed governor from the state of Utah and fellow BYU alum.
That's
Governor
true.
Gary Herbert.
Well, thank you, Dave and Kurt. I'm honored to be with you guys. And yeah, go Cougars.
Yes, absolutely. Go Cougars.
Maybe more football games in your future after retirement? Or
you know, I go to a lot of them now. It is a little harder with my schedule, but I've been a season ticket holder since Shep was a pup.
Oh, wow.
And I have 8 tickets now that I acquire, although I can't see them all. And I have basketball tickets and so that's just I've had it since I think I was first married back in the 70s.
Wow.
That's how long I've been a ticket holder.
Wow. That's amazing. Governor, I watched the other day with open admiration your interview on KSL where you got a little emotional talking about our pioneers in the great state of Utah. Talk about Utah and what being governor has meant to you.
Well, it is emotional for me because I have ancestors that were there next to Brigham Young and the people coming across the West and pioneers that sacrificed so much, something that we probably have a hard time relating to today, to find a better future for themselves and for their descendants, of which I'm one. I'm a 6th generation Utahan, and I appreciate those who've gone before it. And I think about their sacrifice, and it's tender for me. And how it relates to me, too, is what am I doing to smooth out the trail and make it a little better for those that come after me? And I should do no less than what my forefathers did. And so I appreciate the heritage that we have as Utahns, the legacy we have for what we stand for, the principles and values, the good example that Utah is to the rest of the country at a time when the country could use a good example. Mm-hmm. So I am very grateful for the successes we've had this last decade and even before that and hopefully beyond my term in office too. So, yeah, I get a little emotional about Utah.
Yeah. And I would imagine, I mean, sitting in this office and making decisions, it probably helps a lot to think back on that sacrifice and those that came before us and established this great community. And it probably helps with some of your moral and ethical decisions that are put in front of you.
Well, people came here for the ability to, in fact, be moral, to be have integrity, to not be persecuted for their beliefs, although they may have been a little bit different than others around them at the time. And they came here with an attitude of working together, which is a great concept. I wish they could figure that out in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And also with the idea, as they came to this kind of high desert, inhospitable place to live, said, if we'll work together, have faith in God, we will make this desert blossom as a rose. And it did blossom. It has blossomed. It is blossoming. The last 10 years have been the best blossoms of ever in the history of our state economically. And so as the 17th governor, I say, along with the first governor, Brigham Young, that this is still the right place. And we still have great opportunities to drive on and do good things in behalf of the people of Utah and for the people of the country and the world. Our influence is felt in faraway places much more than probably most people realize. So I appreciate following the footsteps of great leaders in the past and hopefully do my part.
Well, Governor, the purpose of the BYU Management Society is to improve moral and ethical leadership around the world. And that is what all 80 chapters strive for. When you hear that and you hear moral and ethical leadership, what does that mean to you?
Well, leadership itself is getting people to follow you. And, of course, we've seen in history we have good leaders, meaning they're good people that have followers. And we also have bad leaders that have followers. So the personality, the ability to persuade is part of leadership. But good moral and ethical leadership would mean leading in the right way, doing the right things, having integrity in how you do that, but following some kind of moral code. For most of us, it would be Judeo-Christian code, which is kind of gives us a guide of how we should conduct our lives. You know, being more Christian, in my view, is being more like Christ would be a good role model for us all to follow. So as we have decisions to make, we need to make the right decision. We need to act on it in the right way and see if people will, in fact, follow us. That's good moral and ethical leadership.
Yeah. Now, at this point, you know, in your in your service as governor, you have the benefit of hindsight. And so if you were to go back in time and talk to yourself on day one, what advice would you give to yourself as far as with the moral and ethical decisions that you have faced as a governor?
Well, I don't have many regrets because we've had such great success. As I said, we came into office at the depths of the Great Recession. We now find ourselves the best performing, most diverse, healthy economy in America. The last 10 years, we've created more jobs per capita than any state in America. We have the largest middle class. We have what we call the American dream. Upward mobility is best in Utah of any place in America. Our international outreach has been tremendous as we've done more international business. Our infrastructure, our education, health care, I mean, all things have improved. So we've done a lot of great things. But the one thing that's the constant is that when we came into office, we had a lot of good, ethical, moral people that became part of the team. I recognize my own limitations and want to have people come in, not necessarily yes people. People will, in fact, challenge my own thinking and complement what we're trying to do. And so if I was going to give any advice to anybody in this position, make sure you have a good team around you that has good ethics and good morals, that will challenge you, that will give you good counsel and advice and help you make proper decisions. And I think that helps me. I have a good family, a good wife who recognizes her role is to kind of keep me humble and keep me on the straight and narrow road. We have Sunday dinner with all of our children every Sunday around 5:15. They all come. They all live in Utah County, so it's not hard, about 15 or 20 minutes away at the most. And we have robust discussions around the dinner table on many things. We keep in touch. We connect with each other. I know what my children are doing, my grandkids are doing. They know what I'm doing. And they're a good source of comfort during troubled times and also a good source of advice and counsel on what I should do on some of the difficult decisions we need to make. So you've got to have that kind of brain trust around you to help you make good, proper decisions. And fortunately for me, I've had that in spades, and we've made some great decisions that have produced some really great outcomes.
And what can't be produced well that comes from Utah County? That's where I'm from as well. So,
well, Utah County has had tremendous success. Our state overall right now is at 2.4% unemployment rate, which is the lowest in our history. Oh. Utah County is at 2% unemployment rate. Oh. But with good news comes the challenges. We are now a very fast-growing state because people want to move here. They like to be here. People are friendly, optimistic. Volunteerism is number one in the nation. Charitable giving is number one in the nation. So it's a great place to live and to raise families and to do business, the best in America. So people are coming here. And so now our biggest challenge really is growth. How do we accommodate the growth without having any diminution of quality of life, which is one of the best in America? So good things present opportunities and challenges that are different. And that dynamic always is happening. We never are there. We're always on a journey to somewhere. We want to make sure that that journey is on the right road and going in the right direction to improve people's lives and have them have opportunity to be successful with a job, with raising their families, optimistic about the future. And that's what we've created here in Utah. So it's something we should all be very grateful for.
Governor, I know it's easy to complain about politics. What would you say to the listener of what they can do to be involved in the best way possible and so that they don't feel like they're helpless and they feel like that these are things that they have a say in and a control in?
Well, you're right. We need to have everybody participate. When everybody participates and gathers information, we'll get better outcomes. We are disappointed when people don't vote. I mean, that's the very basic fundamental aspect of a democratic republic. You got to go vote. And we would hope that when you vote, you're informed about the candidates and about the issues so that you how you vote is based on information, not just going in and tossing a coin and say heads or tails. We also are very concerned about our young people. Our young people are not engaged like they should be. And their future is really what we're working for. It's the future of the rising generation that we're always talking about. And so our young people need to be involved. We've changed legislation here in the state of Utah in our public schools to say when you graduate from school in Utah, you're going to not only know how to read, write, do arithmetic, but you're also going to understand the founding of our country, the founding fathers and the motivation for this country coming into existence. You're going to understand the Constitution and its contents. You're going to understand why it's important for you as an American to be civically involved. It's the minimal, at least voting. But there are many other ways you can be involved in our civic affairs and should be. And last but not least, understand the system which made America great, which is called free market capitalism. People are forgetting all of those things, and unfortunately, so we're trying to reengage with the young people so that they know these things. When they graduate from high school, they go on to college, and a lot of liberal professors there are not dissuading them from the facts of the history of the state of our country and the state of Utah. So those are things we're doing to try to get people more civically involved, and there's just so many ways to do it. There's no excuse not to be involved, and we need you to be involved.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, really, it's a foundational effort, right, in our communities with our education and making sure that those principles are in place so that as we grow as a community, though, everybody's on the same page with those principles.
There's always going to be disagreement. Mostly we don't have disagreement on the goals. Mm. What are the outcomes we want to achieve? Healthy economy, happy families, affordable housing, clean air environments. The ability for us to get from place A to place B, whether that's on the road, driving a car, or bus rapid transit, or light rail, heavy rail, airplane, I mean, communications, transportation. We all want to have a good life as we would define that, which really means the opportunity for us to be the best we can be in a free society. That's been the goal always of America. And it's been not only the hope, but the realization. And so we have differences in between Democrats and Republicans, libertarians. We have the same goal, but the process of how we get from here to there sometimes differ. That's where we have the debate, and that's okay. We ought to have a healthy debate about the role of government in our lives. How do we empower the private sector? How do we encourage wealth creation? How do we take care of our poor privately, as well as what is the government role for these what we call safety net issues? Those are healthy discussions and debates. But as long as we keep our eye on the prize, which is to have the good outcome, we'll eventually find ways to find common ground, compromise, and get things done in behalf of the people of Utah. The thing I've got concerns about is the hyper-partisanship right now that we see in Washington, D.C., where we don't get anything done. And we keep kicking the can down the road and not making some tough decisions and coming up with some compromise. We have some people in Congress that are willing to say, I want 100% of the loaf as I see it. And no, I won't take half a loaf. I'd rather have no loaf than not get 100%. That to me is not very sensible. I'm a common sense conservative, a practical man. I want to get things done, which is what governors typically do. So I hope we can understand that there may be some differences of agreement on process, but our goals and outcomes and desires ought to be the same.
Well, thank you. We sure appreciate the time that you've given us, and the we know you're busy, to say the least, and we're so grateful for the time you've given us.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be with you guys, and thanks for what you're doing. It's something we ought to have more discussion about. Every Sunday dinner table ought to be like mine.
Yeah.
And talking about the issues of the day and how our children are doing and what are some of their concerns and what are some of their hopes and some of their fears and what are their aspirations and what can we all do together as a community at large, government and private sector combined to partner to make sure we have good outcomes. And we're doing it better here in Utah than any place in America today.
And thank you to our listeners. We will be back again next month with our next Moral and Ethical Leadership podcast hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter.